Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 34. Proof against the Marcionites, that the prophets referred in all their predictions to our Christ. Now I shall simply say, in opposition to all the heretics, and principally against the followers of Marcion, and against those who are like to these, in maintaining that the prophets were from another God than he who is announced in the gospel. Read with earnest care that gospel which has been conveyed to us by the apostles, and read with earnest care the prophets, and you will find that the whole conduct and all the doctrine and all the sufferings of our Lord were predicted through the prophets. But if a thought of this kind should then suggest itself to you, to say, what then did the Lord bring to us by his coming? Know that he brought all novelty by bringing himself who had been announced. For this very thing was proclaimed beforehand, that a novelty, a new thing, should come to renew and quicken mankind. For the coming of the king is previously announced by those servants who are sent before him, in order to the preparation and equipment of those men who are to entertain their lord. But when the king has actually come, and those who are his subjects have been filled with that joy which was proclaimed beforehand, and have attained to that liberty which he bestows, and share in the sight of him, and have listened to his words, and have enjoyed the gifts which he confers, that question will not then be asked by any who are possessed of sense. What new thing the king has brought beyond those who announced his coming? For he has brought himself, and has bestowed on men those good things which were announced beforehand, which things the angels desired to look into. But the servants would then have been proved false, and not sent by the Lord, if Christ on his coming, by being found exactly such as he was previously announced, had not fulfilled their words. Wherefore he said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law and the prophets, until all come to pass. For by his coming he himself fulfilled all things, and does still fulfill in the church the new covenant foretold by the law, onwards to the consummation of all things. To this effect also Paul, his apostle, says in the epistle to the Romans, "But now without the law has the righteousness of God been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, for the just shall live by faith." But this fact, that the just shall live by faith, had previously been announced by the prophets. But from where could the prophets have had power to predict the coming of the king, and to preach beforehand that liberty which was bestowed by him, and to announce previously all things which were done by Christ, his words, his works, and his sufferings, and to predict the new covenant, if they had received prophetic inspiration from some other God? They being ignorant, as you allege, of the ineffable Father, of his kingdom, and of his dispensations, which the Son of God fulfilled when he came upon earth in these last times. Neither are you in a position to say that these things came to pass by a certain kind of chance, as if they were spoken by the prophets about some other person, while similar events happened to the Lord. For all the prophets prophesied the same things, but they never came to pass in the case of any one of the ancients. For if these things had happened to any man among them of the old time, Those who lived after them would certainly not have prophesied that these events should only come to pass in the last times. Moreover, there is in fact none among the fathers, nor the prophets, nor the ancient kings, in whose case any one of these things properly and specifically took place. For all indeed prophesied as to the sufferings of Christ, but they themselves were far from enduring sufferings similar to what was predicted. And the points connected with the passion of the Lord which were foretold were realized in no other case. For neither did it happen, at the death of any man among the ancients, that the sun set at noon, nor was the veil of the temple rent, nor did the earth quake, nor did the rocks rend, nor did the dead rise up, nor was any one of these men raised up on the third day, nor received into heaven, nor at his assumption were the heavens opened, nor did the nations believe in the name of any other one, nor did any from among them, having been dead and rising again, lay open the new covenant of liberty. Therefore, the prophets did not speak of any one else but the Lord, in whom all of these aforesaid tokens concurred. If any one, however, advocating the cause of the Jews, should maintain that this new covenant consisted in the rearing of that temple which was built under Zerubbabel after the emigration to Babylon, and in the departure of the people from thence after the lapse of 70 years, let him know that the temple constructed of stones was indeed then rebuilt, for as yet that law was observed which had been made upon tablets of stone. Yet no new covenant was given, but they used the Mosaic law until the coming of the Lord. But from the Lord's advent, the new covenant which brings back peace and the law which gives life has gone forth over the whole earth, as the prophet said, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall rebuke many people, and they shall break down their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks, and they shall no longer learn to fight." If, therefore, another law and word, going forth from Jerusalem, brought in such a peace among the Gentiles which received it, and convinced through them many a nation of its folly, then it would appear that the prophets spoke of some other person. But if the law of liberty, that is, the word of God, preached by the apostles who went forth from Jerusalem, throughout all the earth, caused such a change in the state of things, that these nations did form the swords and war lances into plowshares, and change them into pruning hooks for reaping the corn, that is, into instruments used for lawful purposes, or peaceful purposes, and that they are now unaccustomed to fighting, but when hit, offer also the other cheek, then the prophets have not spoken these things of any other person, but of him who affected them. This person is our Lord, and in him is that declaration borne out, since it is he himself who has made the plow and introduced the pruning hook, that is, the first semination of man, which was the creation exhibited in Adam, and the gathering in of the produce in the last times by the word. And for this reason, since he joined the beginning to the end, and is the Lord of both, he has finally displayed the plow, in that the wood has been joined onto the iron, and has thus cleansed his land. Because the word, having been firmly united to flesh, and its mechanism fixed with pegs, has reclaimed the savage earth. In the beginning, he figured forth the pruning hook by means of Abel, pointing out that there should be a gathering in of a righteous race of men. He says, "For behold how the just man perishes, and no man considers it, and righteous men are taken away, and no man takes it to heart." These things were acted beforehand in Abel, were also previously declared by the prophets, but were accomplished in the Lord's person. And the same with regard to us, the body following the example of the head. Such are the arguments proper to be used in opposition to those who maintain that the prophets were inspired by a different God, and that our Lord came from another Father. If perchance these heretics may at length desist from such extreme folly. This is my earnest object in adducing these scriptural proofs, that confuting them, as far as in me lies, by these very passages, I may restrain them from such great blasphemy, and from insanely fabricating a multitude of gods. End of chapter 34.